Okay, my mic's on. Praise. In 1979, there was an album that came out, and I was working in a record store, and this is what the word says. You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You may like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. Might be a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage. Might have money and drugs at your command. Women in a cage. Sorry, the kids are here today. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. You may be called doctor, or they may call you a thief. Now, the chorus of the thing says, but you got to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. You may be the devil. You may be the Lord. But you're going to have to serve somebody. Mr. Bob Dylan, 1979. I thought it'd be a great way to start that out because when it comes down to it, we're all serving somebody. Somebody or something or someone. I have a lot of things to talk to you about today. If you didn't get a listening guide, raise your hand. There's a couple left, and they'll hook you up. Because we live in a world today, this is 2016, where there are many religions. There are many places where you can go to worship, dance, whatever you want to do. Many people say different things about who they think God is. I mean, there are all, you know, we live in America. Praise God, we're free. We can worship wherever we want to worship. We can go wherever we want to go. But there's a lot of places they're going to walk in today and they're going to tell you about God. They're going to tell you about Jesus. They're going to tell you about Holy Spirit. And they're going to tell you what salvation is, or what you need to do to make it to their heaven. I'd say 10 or 12 years ago, Kathy and I were riding in a van with a mom and three other girls. And I looked at them and I said, there's got to be many ways to get to heaven, right? And they thought for a second, yeah, that's got to be true. And I really came today to tell you that there's only one name. There's no other name but Jesus. And Jesus said this in Matthew 24, 4 and 5. Jesus looked at them and said, watch out. Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. I mean, that was a prophetic statement said by the Son of God for us for generations to come. Because I'll show you today, there is one group of people, and they're the Buddhists. Their founder is Gautama Siddhartha. He lived from 563 to 483 BC. He's also known as Buddha. And I looked up, and there are millions. There are millions of Buddhas. 36 million people claim that Buddha is God. 36 million people claim that Buddha is the way to get to their heaven. Now, I'll give you a few things about the Buddhists. When it comes to Jesus, they say he's not a part of the historical Buddhist worldview. Buddhists in the West today generally view Jesus as an enlightened teacher, while Buddhists in Asia believe that Jesus is an avatar of Bodhisattva. He's not God. As far as salvation, if you went to a Buddhist temple today, they will tell you their goal is life is going to be like nirvana, to eliminate all desires and cravings, in this way escape suffering. The Eightfold Path is a system to free Buddhists from desiring anything and eventually to achieve non-existence. I mean, I want to try to be respectful to different religions, but to try to attain non-existence, there's got to be dope involved in there somewhere, praise God. When it comes to death, Buddhists say it's reincarnation. People do not have their own individual souls or spirit, but one's desires and feelings may be reincarnated into another person. Now, the book they use is many books. Manavistu, which means a great story covering Buddha's life. They have a book called Jataka, which talks about the 550 stories of the former lives of Buddhists. They have a thing called Tripitaka, which is the three baskets. I mean, it's just different things. So there's Buddhists. You know, 5.75% of the people living in the world will claim that Buddha is the way to go. Then you have your Christian Science. Not that many people, but there's a Christian Science reading room right in Main Street of Warrington. I've been in there several times. They say their founder is Mary Baker Eddy. She lived from 1821 to 1910. Their religion was founded in 1875 in Massachusetts. Their headquarters is in Boston, Massachusetts. When it comes to Jesus, they say he's not the Christ, but a man who displayed the Christ idea. Christ means perfection, not a person. Jesus was not God, and God can never become a man or flesh. He did not suffer, could not suffer for our sins. He did not die on the cross. He was not resurrected physically. He will not literally come back. And that's what the Christian Scientists say. And when you walk by their window, a lot of times they'll have a Bible open in the window. And I'm thinking, man, how can you go there? How can you claim that stuff? As far as salvation, the Christian Scientists say that humanity is already internally saved. Sin, evil, sickness, and death, they're not real. When it comes to death, death is not real. Heaven and hell are states of mind. The way to reach heaven is by attaining harmony, oneness with God. They have several books that they use, Science and Health. They have the Manual of the Mother Church and other books by Mrs. Eddy. Mrs. Eddy was very popular. She started that religion. Then we have the Mormons. There are 13.1 million Mormons around the world. Their founder's Joseph Smith. He lived from 1805 to 1845. He organized what is now the Church of Jesus Christ and the Latter-day Saints. When it comes to Jesus, they say Jesus is separate from God the Father. He was created as a spirit by the Father and Mother in heaven, and so on. As far as salvation, they say resurrected by grace, but saved by works, including faithfulness to their church, faithfulness to the Mormon leaders, Mormon baptism, tithing, ordination, marriage, secret temple rituals, have it all. They use several different books. And I can go on and on. And in your listening guide today, Elizabeth put a sheet together for us that shows you many other religions that claim that they have the way to heaven, that they have the way to truth. You'll see them in there. Islam's, oh boy. 1.5 billion people in the world claim that Allah is God. But that's a sad thing. I remember after 9/11, and I don't want to say her name, but her show, the lady started with the letter O, and on her show she had a person on there claiming that day, a couple days after 9/11, that Allah was the same as God. And how can you prove that? How can you say that? Well, Paul told in Galatians there was a lot of trouble in that time with other religions and coming in. And Paul said this, I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Every one of those religions that's on that sheet that I'm telling you about today, that is a false religion. And you have to. And how do you find out if you have a false religion? You look to see what they say about Christ. He says, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into a confusion or trying to pervert the gospel of God, the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be under God's curse. As we have already said, and Paul writes, so I now say to you again, if anybody is preaching you a gospel other than what you have accepted, let him be under God's curse. Can we pause and pray for a second? Could you bow your heads? Father, right now, Lord, I just pray as we look at the truth, as we look at your word, Father, that you would take the veil away from maybe people sitting in this auditorium here today, this sanctuary today, which is dedicated to you, Father, because there's no other name given under heaven where one can be saved other than Jesus Christ. So, Father, I pray that the words today reign true. Father, I pray that everyone here today walks out of this place with a decision to make, Lord. Maybe there'll be a decision in this place today, Father. And I just want to give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday, I made a statement, and it holds so true today. I talked about Jesus cleansing the temple, and I said that we would never stop declaring God's word here at this church. So if God is saying, this is where I want you to go, you won't hear nothing other than the truth from God's word. But I made a statement last week. When you leave here today, you will either be looking for a way out to committing your life to God, or you'll be seeking Him to cleanse your temple and ask Him to put you on a mission. It's so important. So you're going to leave here either way. 1 John 4 tells us this when you're talking about other names or other religions. It says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out to the world. And this is how you can recognize. This is how you can recognize if the religion is false and if it's a cult. It says, every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. As simple as that. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one that is in the world. If you know Christ today, if you've accepted Him as your Savior, you have a living God living inside of you. And you will overcome the things of the world because of that. It says, every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. The spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even as now is already in the world. He goes on and says, you do, children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one is in you is greater than the one is in the world. They are the world and therefore speak the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. There are millions of people listening to other names, whether it's Buddha, whether it's Christian Science, whether it's L. Ron Hubbard, whether it's Mormons, whether it's Brigham Young, whether it's Mary Baker Eddy. There are so many people following people who are false prophets who direct them away from God. There's so many other books out there. And this is the two verses that I use. When they knock on my door, and the Mormons are good. The Mormons are good at sharing their faith. And when they knock on my door, I take my Bible out and I say, well, how do you get around using other books when Proverbs 30 says this, every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Do not add to His words, or He will rebuke you and prove you a liar. You can't get around that. When you get God in your heart, when you repent of your sins, when you've come to this time in your life where you realize, man, the way I'm living, I don't have any hope in my life. I don't have any peace in my life. I'm trying to fill it with alcohol. I'm trying to fill it with drugs. I'm trying to fill it with other religions. I'm trying to fill it with money. I'm trying to fill it with stuff. And I just don't seem to have hope. And Peter tells us this, we also have this prophetic message as something completely reliable. If someone came to you and asked you, how do you know the Bible is true? How do you know the Bible is God's word? You can take him right here to 2 Peter 1. He says something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. And in verse 20, Peter says, above all, you must understand. You must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. No prophecy came out by someone's own interpretation, which discredits Buddha, which discredits Joseph Smith, which discredits Brigham Young, which discredits Allah, which discredits Muhammad, all that. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Today on Easter Sunday, March 27, 2016, you've been prayed for. There's a brother, Bill Duffy, and I sat in a room over there for a half hour today praying for everybody that came in his church today. Because I know there might be spouses that, for some reason, their spouse doesn't come that much, or they'll show up for Easter, or they'll show up for Christmas. Thank you for being here. If you don't know Christ today and you don't have a relationship with God, thank you so much for being here. Because we get to share the truth of God's Word with you. We get to tell you about the things of God. I want to bring you to a story that Peter, I've referenced Peter and I've referenced John. And I want to talk to you today about a passage in Acts 4, 1 through 13. Those are the 13 verses we're going to go through today. And I'm going to tell you that four things as a Christian church, what we should be doing. And it starts out with Acts 1, 1 through 4. Put up those four verses, please, first, Jason. The priests and the captain guard, temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. So these were the mucky mucks. These were the high regarded people at that time. They were Sadducees. They were the religious leaders. And they saw Peter and John, and the Bible says they were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. That's why we're here today. We're here today to worship the resurrection of the dead, because this is the day that they went to the tomb and the stone was rolled away, and they went in there and it was empty, and Jesus rose again from the dead. There's no other religion can claim that happening. So they were greatly disturbed, and they seized Peter and John. And because it was evening, they put him in jail till the next day. But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000 people. Can I tell you something? No, Peter and John in that jail, they were rejoicing. They were probably in stocks. They were probably in chains. And they were rejoicing. Rejoicing because people believed in Christ. So our number one thing we should be doing here is teaching and proclaiming in His name. That's what Christianity is all about. Teaching the things of God and proclaiming the name of Jesus. Next verses 5 through 11. Next day, the rulers and the elders and the teachers of the law, they all met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there. So was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had brought Peter and John before them and began to question them, by what power or what name did you do this? And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, with an explanation part, if we're being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this. And this was their opportunity. This was their time where they can share. And they said, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, but this man stands before you healed. Jesus, the stone the builders rejected, which has become the chief cornerstone. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a generation where Jesus is still being rejected. People are still trying to find other means or other ways or other people to believe in other Jesus. And there was a lame man in Acts 3:6. Peter said that lame man stood. And Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I give you, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Walk! Walk! So when you have that power, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, things can happen. People's lives can be changed. People who used to think they were a God or someone else is a God, that veil can be taken away from their minds, and all of a sudden they understand Christ. There are children sitting in the sanctuary today hoping that their parents receive Christ today. There are wives in here hoping that their husbands will bend their knee and accept Jesus Christ because He's only the only one you can get to heaven by. James 5, prayer of the faith. Is there any among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is there anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is there any among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them in the name of the Lord. And we want to do that today. There might be someone here suffering with something. We want to pray for you today. There might be someone here today in trouble. Maybe you're in trouble with the law. Maybe something happened in your life that you realize, man, I need Christ. It says, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. And if they've sinned, they'll be forgiven. Do you realize you can walk out of here today forgiven? Forgiven of anything you've ever done in your life. All you have to do is ask Him. All you have to do is confess. All you have to do is repent. And the prayer offered in faith will make a sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So, one, we should be proclaiming the name of Christ here. Two, we should be praying and healing in His name. Because there is healing in the name of Jesus. Acts 4:12-13, which is a verse that Amber alluded to earlier. Salvation is found in no one else. When you come and God, you know, when you have Christ in your heart, He's going to bring people in your path that don't know God, that thinks Buddha's God, that thinks Muhammad's God, that thinks if you're a Mormon, you're going to be all right. Salvation, take them to this verse, is found in no one else. For there's no other. He's walking up to the aisle already. Praise God. Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Wouldn't that be powerful? Wouldn't that be powerful? If people just started getting up out of their chair and coming up to this altar and wanting Christ in their life, realizing I've lived all these years and thought all these things or all this stuff was going to give me peace, and it's not. It's definitely not. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized they were unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished that they took note that these men have been with Jesus. And if you looked around here today, or if you got to talk to some people around here, you'll see some people that know Jesus. You see some people that have spent time with Jesus in His Word, spent time with Jesus in prayer. So if you're here today and you've never realized that there's no other name given under heaven which Jesus for salvation, knowing this, this is my question for you today. Don't walk out of here without answering this question. Knowing this now, what should be, and put your name there, my response. What should be my response today? Because, and I'll say it again, when you leave here today, you will be looking for a way out to committing your life to God. There's no doubt about it. Or you will be seeking Him to cleanse your temple and ask Him to give you a mission. There's not a person sitting in here that God has not created and has a mission for you, a duty for you, a calling for you. He'll give you gifts and He'll do that. So what does God's Word say when it comes to salvation? Can I walk out of here today knowing what God's Word say? I'll give you a couple of verses. Acts 2:38, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." You can actually receive the gift of the Holy Spirit today. Today, right here in this room. Romans 10:9-11. If you declare with your mouth Jesus Lord, believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, you shall surely be saved. For it is with your heart you believe and you're justified. It is with your mouth you profess your faith and are saved. As the Scripture says, anyone who believes in Him will never be put to shame. In 2011, man, I got to go to Africa. I got to spend 12 days in Africa, and it changed my life. I was around people who were living in huts. I was around little kids who had nothing, nothing. And then I walked with this pastor, Pastor Winfried. I will never forget. We had a connection with each other. And he said, "Pastor Nick, will you go to my men's Bible study with me tonight?" I said, "Yeah, where is it?" "Well, we got to walk to it." "I'm there." We walked 4 miles. 4 miles to this hut, and we got to this hut, and there was a little rooster walking around and stuff, and then out of the jungle, out of the woods, whatever you want to call it, there was about 15 men walking, and they sat down, and they had these little benches there. The thing had a roof. It didn't even have windows or anything. It was just a hut where people lived. And I got to talk to them, and I got to share God's Word. I just opened up 2 Peter and just started reading the first chapter to them. And I got to pray with them. And I said, "Do you guys have any questions?" Here was a guy. I'd say he was maybe 25 or 26. This guy raised his hand. And I said, "Yes, sir, what can I do?" He says, "My wife won't come to church with me. What can I do?" And I looked at him and I said, "Love her, man. lover, server, be there for, live the life God has called you to live for, and you pray that God will open up their eyes. Because there might be someone sitting here. It happened to me for 12 years. I wanted my parents to receive Christ. 12 years, Kathy and I would go down to Florida, and I'd look at Kathy, this is the year they're going to do it. And I'd come back disheartened. Nick, you said the wrong things. You did the wrong things. You were too Italian to them. You were too forceful to them. But when it's his time to happen, man, it happened. And I got to pray with him. He was tied in a straitjacket because he had dementia. And I got to pray with him to receive Christ. And I'm here today to tell you, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, because that's why we're here celebrating today, because he raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. As the scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. There's no other scripture in the Bible that says anyone who believes in Buddha will be saved. Anyone who believes in Hare Krishna will be saved. Anybody who believes in Tom Cruise will be saved. Sorry, I had to go there, man. It's sad. I mean, L. Ron Hubbard and that religion is very sad. And there's a lot of Hollywood stars that believe in that. There's a lot of Hollywood stars that believe that Scientology is the way to go. And I tried to look up different websites and stuff, and they claim that there's 8 million Scientologists. But when they study it, there's maybe 40 to 50,000, which is bad. Don't get me wrong. If one person is believing in someone else other than Christ, it's bad. And I feel like myself, when I've been working on this message, I'm telling you, God is going to bring people in your path, at your jobs, in your neighborhood that believes in something else other than Christ. And Peter says, sanctify the Lord God always in your heart, always be ready to give a reason for the hope that you have, and do it with gentleness and respect. It's very important. Do it with meekness and fear, knowing that if they would die tomorrow, they would literally spend eternity in hell. Even though the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses didn't even believe in hell. They think if they say there's no hell, there's not any hell. But if you read God's Word, there is a hell. There is a place created for people who don't know Christ, who didn't repent of their sins, who didn't acknowledge Him as a Savior. Yet to all who did receive Him, John said, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right become children of God. Children born not of a natural descent or of a human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. Ladies and gentlemen, it was 29 years old before I realized I needed Christ. I used to think if I was a good boy and didn't cuss and didn't lie to my parents and went to confession and said my 10 Our Fathers, and one time it was 25 Hail Marys, I did so many things wrong. But God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. There's nobody else that has been given that can take away your sins but Christ. There's no other name that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. If the band would come forward, please. So salvation only comes in His name. That's my main point today. That's my main point when you walk out of here today. And you might walk out of here thinking, I'm doing pretty good. I'm pretty successful. I have this. I have that. And I'll say it for the third time. When you walk out of here today, you will be looking for a way out to committing your life to Christ. Or you'll be seeking Him to cleanse your temple and ask Him to put you on a mission. I'm telling you, people, God has His church on a mission. God, there is many people sitting in this auditorium that I love, that have ministered to me, that I've gotten a chance to be in Bible studies with them. And you're listening, God. Hold on, because my introduction's over. And you're listening, God, today. There is a sheet in here with questions that says no other name. I'm going to ask you to pray about this. Make a commitment for this. That next Sunday, that during this week, you will sit down and look at these questions and answer them. Look at the Scripture. Look at God's Word and answer them. And then next week, I want you to make a commitment to walk through those two doors at 9:30 in the morning. And we will plug you up in a community group. Community group leaders, I want you to stand up for a second. Eric, Todd. Sarah's not here. Jim. Carter, you're part of that. Stand up, man. Seriously, is that shorts you got on? Beautiful, man. Wait, stand up, stand up. Did I get everybody? Keith is on an airplane somewhere. He might be standing up while he's driving right now. Praise God. Stand up, Jim. Now listen, when you walk out of here today, they will be in... Rachel, thank you. Jason back, he's doing PowerPoint and leading a community group with his wife. Who can anybody deliver a baby? Because she's going to give a baby right now today, man. Praise God. Praise God. That'd be beautiful. It never happened here before, man. Come on, Rachel. We love you. These people will be standing in the back for you. Hey, I saw those shorts. Do you have shorts? I was only messing around. I saw the shorts and I thought that would be a group for me to attend. So go up and ask them, hey, where do you meet on Sunday morning at 9:30? I need to get plugged in, man. I need to grow in my relationship with God. I want to have more hope in my life. I want to have more peace in my life. But for some reason, stuff hasn't done it. Money hasn't done it. Power hasn't done it. Prestige hasn't done it. Drugs hasn't done it. Alcohol hasn't done it. I need Christ. Can you help me? And they'll be glad to have you in a group. Every one of these people standing up are powerful. Every one of these people have the living God living inside of them, filled with the Holy Spirit, ready and willing to show you the things of God. Whether they have shorts or long pants. Praise God. Hey, you can sit down. Thank you for standing up. 4, repenting, believing, confessing, and receiving in His name brings us these promises. And I'm going to close with these verses. I found them by accident. I'm telling you, you just open up the Bible and start reading, and man, He just messes you up. And I opened up probably 3 or 4 weeks ago to Psalm 18, and I want to close with these 6 verses because these 6 verses could change your life. This is what happens when you decide to follow Christ. This is what happens when you make Him number one in your life. As for God, His way is perfect. The Lord's way is flawless. He shields all those who take refuge in Him. Anybody here need a shield today? Thank you for saying that. Seriously. Wait till you see the stuff I'm giving out to the end of the service for the kids today. Oh, my God. Hey, you got a tie on, you get 2, man. Praise God. Verse 31, for who is God? I mean, is this fit or not? Who is God besides the Lord? Nobody. Nobody. Who is the rock, capital R, except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He causes me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You make your saving help my shield, and your right hand sustains me. Your help has made me great. Great. Come forward, ushers. Man, that clock's way off. Praise God. We're going to take an offering now, and then the band, whom I love, check out the girl. The skirt really looks good. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to take an offering, and then when that plate comes down, you give what the Lord tells you to give. Give it with a cheerful heart, and then stand up, and we are going to worship. But here's the most important, well, every part of the service is important, but really, the most important part is there someone here that wants to give their life to Christ today? Is there someone here that wants to walk down this aisle? And I'm telling you, there'll be people cheering. There'll be angels in heaven. They say 10,000 angels will be cheering. I've been waiting for you to give your heart. I've been waiting you to humble yourself and confess your sins and receive Jesus into your heart. There are people that have been praying for you because they figure, hey, people are going to show up on Easter, man. It's powerful. Thank you for coming today. Thank you for being a part of this church today. We want nothing else but to love on you and get you connected to God. We want nothing else for you to start getting into the Bible, and because this is God's Word. There's no other book that can replace this book. This has been here for centuries now, over 1,900 years since Jesus has died and rose again, that this book tells you everything you need to know. Parents, it tells you how to raise your kids. Husband, it tells you how to love your wife. Wives, it tells you how to love your husband. Everything you need to know to live in this world is in this book. And we want nothing else but to get you connected. We want nothing else for you to come in this door at 9:30. And it'll take humility. You'll have to get up earlier to come in here at 9:30 and sit with other believers and allow them to pour into you. And can I tell you something? There's something that you have in your heart that God wants you to put in someone else's life. There's something that God has taught you in your life that He wants you to gather around other people and tell them about the truth. Father, I give you the glory for today, Lord. Father, I ask you to bless our offering. Father, thank you for this church. Thank you for this place. Thank you for this band. Thank you for the ushers. Thank you for everyone that's sitting here today. Thank you, Father, if you work right now, Father, you might be knocking on the door of a heart and saying, I need you. Father, help us to have that desire to answer that call from you, that there's no other name given under heaven where we must be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. When I count to three, I want everybody to say, Jesus Christ. One, two, three. There's no other name that you can put in that place where you might be saved. There's no other name that can give you hope. There's no other name that can give you peace. There's no other name that can set you free from the chains, because we sang about break every chain. That's the person that breaks the chains. So, Father, we pray for a chain-breaking ceremony right now, Father. We pray for a heart-breaking ceremony right now, Father. Father, I pray as we stand and as we worship and hear us sing your praises, Lord, that you will come forth in the people's lives, Father. I can't save anybody. I wish I could, but I know the one who can, and his name is Jesus. And Father, I thank you that there'll be people walking up to this aisle for healing. I got a brother that has oil with him right now. If there's someone that needs healing, we want to pray for them. If there's someone here that wants to pray for somebody in their family that doesn't know Christ, and you want them to know Christ, prayers, man. Prayer makes a difference. Somebody must have prayed for me. Somebody must have prayed for my wife. Somebody must have prayed for every one of us in here that knows you, Father. So, Father, I pray as we take up our offering, Father, as we sing your praises, Lord, that people will open up their hearts today and remember the date, March 27, 2016, when I finally gave it up. I finally gave up the way I thought I could be good. And we can only do it through Christ. And I give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.